preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond Jordan. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the start of this new year. I pray, Lord, that it would be a year that is profitable in our own personal lives, for the life of our church, and yea, Lord, for the work of the Lord throughout this place and throughout the world. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Our theme verse for the year is Matthew 4:19. Would you say it with me? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you look at it, it's both a command and a promise. The command is, follow me. The promise is, I will make you fishers of men. The desire to be a fisher of men ought to be one that is important to us and that we really desire. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, throughout the scriptures, you have various pictorial things where you've got the shepherd going out after the lost sheep, and you have the lost coin, and you have the fishermen. And this isn't the only place. The Old Testament talks about fishing for men as well, albeit in a little bit different context. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Jesus commands it in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so we see in the command of Jesus, we see in the commendation that is given in the scriptures that it's a wise thing, it's a good thing, it's an exciting thing to see people come to know the Lord. I've said recently that I had the opportunity to watch all of my children being born. And I think I can say without exception that I cried at the birth of every one of them. That's for joy, by the way. And I think when we see a person come to know Jesus Christ, is there any more thrilling thing to know that a person has passed from death unto life, to see a person turn from wickedness and from sinfulness and from selfishness and from their own way and turn unto righteousness, turn unto God, turn from death to life, turn from eternal punishment to eternal bliss. Is there anything more that could excite a person than that thing? Well, Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I want to be very careful here this morning, but I wonder, and I speak to myself as much as to any of you, the indication I get from this text is if we are following, we will be fishing, And we will be catching. Now, folks, we're going to get more into the fishing and the catching in future lessons and future sermons. But my question to you this morning is, are we following Christ? Are we being followers of Christ? It is a command. Follow me. And so, I think that when we consider the wisdom, the excitement, the thrill of seeing a person come to know the Lord, to know that they've passed from death unto life, that it ought to motivate us to check to see if we are following the Lord. And so, my intention this morning is to consider what it means to follow Christ. In order to be a fisherman, we must be a follower of Christ. And we need to see that it is Christ that makes us to be a fisher of men. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, I won't ask you to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 13:5 it says this: examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. We could change that a little bit. Examine yourself to see if you are a follower of Christ. In 2 Peter 1 verse 10 it says, give diligence. I don't know what you think of when you think of diligence, but diligence is something that you're careful about, you're taking interest in, you're making an effort in. Take diligence to make your calling and election sure. We could paraphrase that again. Give diligence that you follow Christ. For the most part this morning, I'm going to reference the book of 1 John. Now, I don't want us to forget our text, Matthew 4:19. Together, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But if you will turn with me to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, you go 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So it's right towards the end of the Bible, 1 John. And I want you to first of all see why I'm taking and looking at the book of 1 John. If you'll look at 1 John chapter 5, there's only 5 chapters in the book of 1 John. In fact, that's the next book that we're going to read after our first 21 times through Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John, and Jude. Then we just take the book of 1 John. And I would exhort you to read it through 21 times. You can read it through 31 times or 50 times for that matter. But just for the sake of uniformity and being together in that, I would encourage that. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you, that's the book of 1 John, that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, he's writing to believers. He's writing to those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so the book of 1 John is written that you might know that you're a follower of Christ, that you might know that you are walking with the Lord. And this morning, to help us, I hope, remember, I've taken the word follow, F-O-L-L-O-W. And so you can take, if you like, the paper that you've got there with the Bible reading, turn it over inside out and do half of it, and just write and leave a little space between each, F-O-L-L-O-W, follow. What does it mean to follow Christ? And if you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, it's not hard. You only have to turn a couple pages. We're going to be turning back and forth in 1 John. Before I go to follow, if you'll remember back in Matthew chapter 4:17, and we started purposely, a command of Christ is repent. Repent. It is the same message, if you look at Matthew chapter 3, that John the Baptist gave. I believe 3 different times there he's talking about repentance, repentance, and repentance. And then we get to Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus has started his ministry, and he begins right where John has left off, because John's in prison now. And so now he begins, repent. Can I tell you, before you have become a follower of Jesus Christ, you must repent. And you know what repent is? And I've looked at different commentators, and they don't like the word repent. They think that it is not a good translation. I don't really agree with them, but who am I to disagree with the commentators? But anyway, they say repent has too much of a negative connotation. And the idea is repentance, you change from one direction and going the other direction. And they say that repentance is, when you say to repent, you just have the negative connotation rather than the positive. There's both. There's the going from the wrong direction and going in the other direction. The word literally means to change your mind. That your mind is changed from self and the world, and your focus is on Christ and salvation and eternal life. And so the first thing, before a person could ever become a follower of Christ, they have to change from following their own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so the way that's right unto a man needs to be changed, and he needs to go into the way of Christ. And in order to be able to follow Christ, he has to not follow his own will, his own way, his own desires. And so that's the first thing that we must understand. Before we follow Christ, there must be repentance. But if we are to follow Christ, there must be faith. There must be faith. Now the word faith is the word in the Greek pistos, or pistis, depending on how it's used in the text. But that word faith means to believe. It's the same word. If you see the word believe, it's the same word for faith. If you see the word trust, it's the same word, the exact same word. It's translated variously, and sometimes it's translated rely upon, to rely upon, or to rest in. All those terms are synonyms. They have a little bit different emphasis, each of them, but they are all used to translate that word pistis, faith. And so if we are to follow Christ, we must have faith. If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Remember, the whole book of 1 John is written that you might know that you have eternal life, that you might know that you are a part of God's forever family. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe or have faith on or in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, or we could, the concept that we follow him by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so first off, we must believe. We must believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's his commandment. Secondly, and I have another F, and so you'll have to forgive me not following strictly F. Turn with another F is in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, if we just stopped it there, you might say, well, what's the big deal? But it goes on and says, and truly we have fellowship, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Skipping down to verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. And so if we are to follow Christ, we must have faith in Christ. We must believe Christ. We must trust Christ. We must rely upon Christ. We must rest upon Christ. We must have fellowship with Christ. When literally speaking, when Jesus told these disciples, and by the way, this isn't the first time that Jesus came. Jesus didn't just happen to be walking by the Sea of Galilee and see James and John and say, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you look in the book of John, they're down there with John the Baptist. They're disciples actually of John. And then they go to Jesus. And so this isn't the first time that Jesus just doesn't pop up and say, hey, guys, come on, follow me, and then they do it. They already have a relationship. Almost a year earlier had they been exposed to Jesus and that they had been following Jesus. This was a specific time for a specific purpose. I'm broadening it out a little bit. But you see, these men already knew who Jesus Christ was. And he's calling them to greater service and greater fellowship. But what he's asking when he says, follow me, he's saying, come have fellowship with me. Leave that old way of living that you have. There was nothing wrong with the way of living. There was nothing wrong with being a fisherman. The fishermen were industrious. The fishermen were hard workers. The fishermen were relatively well-to-do and well-off and these type of things. But he says, you come and you follow me. Let's have fellowship together. And the purpose of the fellowship was to train them, to teach them, to teach them how to seek the Heavenly Father and to seek His blessings. And so, really, when He calls us to follow Him, He calls us to fellowship with Him. You know, last week we reviewed our theme verse for last year. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And remember, I had wanted to deal with what is godliness, what is contentment, what is great gain. We only got to godliness. What is godliness? And we came down to that godliness is having fellowship with God. Godliness is having fellowship with God. And that's where we encourage you, instead of reading for knowledge's sake, reading for fellowship's sake. And that's why we've said, let's read a book of the Bible 21 times together. And the goal and the desire that I have is not only that we'll have fellowship with God, but you see what John says? He says that we might have fellowship one with the other. Folks, what a wonderful thing if somebody says, you know what, I was looking in the book of Jude and I saw this, and Pastor, you know what the Lord's done in my life as a result? You know what that's going to do, a preacher? I'll get even more excited, I promise. They might even accuse me of becoming a charismatic or something. If people start talking about the Word of God and saying, this is what God's doing in my life as a result. Folks, you know the devil knows Scripture just as well as you and probably a whole lot better. But you see, it has no impact in that being's life. The Word of God is meant to be sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword. Would you pray for me that God's Word would work in my heart and work in my life? And I'll pray for you that God, that we might have fellowship with the Father and with His Son and with one another through His Word. You know, I hope Doug doesn't mind, but Doug and Mr. Sudlow and I, last Tuesday morning, we took and we opened the Word of God right there in McDonald's. We read through the book of Colossians. We read through the book of 2 John. We read through the book of 3 John. We read through the book of Jude. And we had some prayer together. We prayed for the people of the week. That's what we do each week. If you want to come and join us and say, you know, this is what we've been reading. We've been reading Colossians. We've been reading Jude, 2 and 3 John. And you're more than welcome. We're going to McDonald's. No, we're not. We're going to Steak and Shake on Tuesday. So if you go to McDonald's, you'll miss us. 7:30 Tuesday morning. Our fellowship one with the other, with Jesus Christ, with the Father. So that's the F's. Oh, turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are of him. Whoso keepeth his word. Look at verse 17 if you would. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, he that obeyeth the will of God abideth forever. Look at verse 22 if you will. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist. to deny it the Father and the Son. You see, throughout the scriptures it says, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ. There's one word, there's one understanding that God has given to us through his word. Look at verse 26, if you will. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Folks, if we want to follow Christ, we've got to follow his word. We've got to obey his word. We have to implement his word. When somebody comes to me and says, God said unto me, I said, where did he say it? To the word and to the testimony, if it's not in this, reject it. It's the word of God. And so we have one word, we have one authority. If we were to put it in the scheme of the Reformation, sola scriptura. But that doesn't go with O. So we go now to L. Might just mention on the O, one word, we don't add to, we don't take away from. L. 1 John chapter 3, 16. Don't you love John 3, 16? You all know John 3, 16. Do you know 1 John 3, 16? Look at how closely they're knit together. I love this. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby know we the love of God. Hereby understand we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If you'll look at, let's keep going to verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Then if you go down to verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. If we were to sum it up, the L is for love. We love God. We love our neighbor. And we love even our enemies. That's not here, but Jesus tells us that, doesn't he? In the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And so we love God. If we're to follow Jesus, if we're to follow Christ, we have to love him. You know, as we look at the lives of the disciples who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe they really loved him. When Peter said, Lord, I'm willing to die for you, I believe at the moment he said that, he meant it. And I believe that if I were to ask you this morning, do you love the Lord? I believe that you'd probably say, yes, I do. But I've got to tell you, folks, I read those stories of those little children who the Muslims come and say, deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And these little children say, no, we love Jesus. And they chop their head off. I say, is that the kind of love I have for the Lord Jesus? I think of that pastor, Saeed, who was there and I rang me in prison. He had made a cross out of a piece of paper. He was persecuted for putting that up. And he writes a letter to his children at Christmas time. And he remains faithful to his Lord. If we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to love him. But he calls us to love our neighbors. You know who our neighbors are? Usually our husband or wife, usually our children, usually our parents. If you can't love them, you're not going to be able to love anybody else. And you're not going to, certainly, God says, you read through the book of 1 John, he says, if you can't love those that you can see, how can you love God who you cannot see? And so if we are to follow Christ, we must love God, our neighbor, and our enemies. The second L is that of a learner. One who follows Christ is going to be a learner. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. It says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. What have you heard from the beginning? It's the word. It's the Bible. It's the truth. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Continue in that which you have learned. That's what a follower is. He's a learner. He's a disciple. If you look on down to verse 26, it says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Learn from the warning that I'm writing to you." If you go to chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that you should love one another." There's a message. There's a book. And we learn from this book, and we learn from this message that he's given to us. If you'll turn to chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us." He that knoweth God heareth us. What's the hearing us? 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the Gospel of John, the Word of God. "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, because we hear his word." We learn. Then if you'll turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. We've already read it. We'll read it again. "These things have I written unto you, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life." For you're a learner. You read the Word of God. The book of 1 and 2 Peter, he says, "I'm reminding you." I'm not telling you anything new. Has anybody here heard anything new today? Not a hand up. You've all heard it before. You heard something new. Uh-oh. I better be careful. Okay. Most of us heard everything that I've said before, and you've heard me say it. But God calls me to remind you and you to remind me. He calls us to stir one another up, that we would hear the Word of God, that we would know the Word of God, that we would put it into practice. And so we have the F, to follow Christ, faith, fellowship, one word, love, that we would be a learner. And then we have the O, the next O. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. 3 through 5. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Let me read that again. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth or obeyeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him," or "hereby know we that we are a follower of him." If we are to follow Christ, we have to obey him. You are not a follower if you don't obey what he says. And then lastly, we come to the O. Turn with me again to 1 John 3:16. We've read this one before. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." Hereby perceive we the love of God. "This do in remembrance of me." I've heard stories told of how that people, especially in third world countries, come to hear about Jesus. I believe we even showed this years ago if I remember correctly, it was, the name of the film was Itau. And it was a primitive tribe that had never heard of the things of Christ. And some missionaries went up in and started teaching them, starting at Genesis, and told how God made the world and how he made it perfect and how sin entered the world and how Jesus, God sent Jesus, and then wicked men took Jesus and were going to put him to death. And they said that the tribesmen stood up and said, "Who does this unjust thing? Who does this wicked thing? This man who did no wrong and is being put to death." Stood in wonder and in
awe that God should so love the world that he would send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The wonder and awe. And when we follow Christ, I believe there's got to be a wonder, an awe that God should love us. I've got a couple other scriptures that I want to show you. 1 John 4:9. And we could go elsewhere in the scriptures, but this is sufficient. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Listen, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look at down verse 19. We love him. We love God because God first loved us. Then turn over to 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Can I read it again? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The God of creation, the God who is omnipotent, the God who is omnipresent, the God who is omniscient, he hears us, he cares for us. I fear, folks, and I speak of myself, I praise God that I was raised in a Christian home, but I fear this becomes trite and mundane to us. It becomes, oh yeah, if we're going to be a follower of Christ, there's going to be a wonder and an awe. And if, verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever asks, we know that we have the petition that we desire. I don't want to deal with it, but I quickly just say, well, what about the times I pray and it doesn't happen? You remember the time when your child was young and wanted to have candy for breakfast? You remember the time when they wanted to stay out all night? Mom and dad said no. And at the time, you didn't really appreciate it very much. But if we have a God of the universe that loves us, and he does, hereby perceive we the love of God because he sent his Son to die for us. If we have a God that loves us, if we have a God that is all-knowing, if we have a God that is all-powerful, then it's obvious that that which he gives us in his will is what is best for us. And we may not understand it, and we may not embrace it, and we might not even like it. But in faith, being a follower of Christ, we stand in awe and wonder that he even cares for us, that he even concerned for us, that he'll even listen to us. And he has said that he will do so, and he does so. And he delights. Folks, I'm not so far away that I can't remember. There's some parents, I guess, that enjoy saying no to their children. I was not one of them. I love saying yes to my children. Now, there were sometimes I had to say no for their good. And our Father God delights to say yes to his children that he knows is going to be best for us. And we ought to stand in wonder and in awe of that. And as we follow Christ, where he leads, I will go. And so this day, this year, as we consider John 4:19, follow me,
and I will make you fishers of men. Brothers and sisters, I trust you are my brothers and sisters. If you are not amazed at what God has done for you, you don't understand what he's done for you. If you're not amazed at what he's done for you, you don't understand his love and the lengths of it. Paul prays in Ephesians 3:18 that we would understand the height and the depth, the length and the breadth of God's love for us. I conclude this morning by asking you, are you a follower of Christ? Peter tells believers to make sure. Paul tells believers to examine themselves. John writes a whole book to believers saying, I write these things that you might know. None of those ask those questions or do those things to cause doubt. No, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it's verse 4, that your joy might be full. It's for your encouragement to root out those things that are not helpful to you. And then over there in 2 John, just verse 8, it says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we might receive a full reward. That we might receive a full reward. And so the question that I ask along with John, along with Peter, along with Paul, are you a follower of Christ? Have you repented? Have you been converted? Do you have faith in Christ, the living one? Do you have fellowship with him through one book, the Bible? Do you love him, your neighbor and your enemy? Are you a learner? Is it your desire to obey? And do you stand in wonder? I could have used the word wallow. Do you wallow in the beauty and in the glory and the loveliness and in the wonder of it? Oh, this morning, dear brother and sister, savor Christ and what he has done, that you might follow him, that he might make you a fisher of men. During our testimony time, Brother Lane shared how that here at the first of the year, you take stock again and you look, and as you go to the house of the Lord, why am I privileged to go to the house of the Lord while others are out on the lake? You might say, well, I'd like to be out on the lake too. Let me tell you something. There's something better than being on the lake. There's something better than being at the stock car race or at the football game. Gathering with the saints of God. Being a follower of Christ. Oh, folks. May this year, once again, may we recommit ourselves to following the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I ask you this morning that we would stand in awe, that we would stand in wonder at the love that you have bestowed upon us, the work of redemption, the work of Christ on the cross for us. Lord, we're told in the book of 1 Peter that the angels stand in wonderment of it all. Father, may we stand in wonderment of it all. May we seek to follow you. Father, bless our time here around your table. May it be a time of fellowship with you, with one another, rejoicing of the redemptive work of Christ. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.